Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan right now, brought to you by Ford and your North Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. We bring you our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola. Good morning, sir.
I turn my volume on. Good morning, guys.
That would help.
There we go.
Now, Mickey, I think the most important question of the day is, have you ever been fined for anything work-related or otherwise? And if so, what was the fine?
Fined. No, never.
All right, follow-up question.
I keep my hands to myself.
Okay, I was going to say, how often do you flip people off?
I don't recall doing that.
Ever?
Well, maybe sometime, but not lately.
Okay.
No.
I just need to
admit it happened. I've matured, believe it or not.
Okay. All right.
So, inadvertently, maybe, huh?
Oh, look at you. Mm-hmm. Carrying that company line, Jerry said, I thought it was my thumb.
Mickey. Who has to pay that $250,000? Is that out of the media group? Who's?
There's no way.
Where does that come from?
Well, I would imagine it's his pocket. You hope it doesn't come out of the salary cap.
Oh, man. Mickey, how much more stringent do you think teams would be on these things if those fines came out of the salary cap?
Oh, they'd be much more careful, right?
Yes.
But you know what the weird thing is? So when I saw that picture, there was all Cowboy fans underneath there.
Yeah.
That's what Jerry said yesterday with Sean and RJ and Bobby and Peyton.
And by that time, and I don't know when it took place, right? The time in the game or whatever.
Yeah.
But by near the end, like even halfway through the fourth quarter, that stadium was emptying out.
Right.
The only people left in there were Cowboy fans.
Right.
So, yeah, who knows? If that's the worst thing that happens to you, it's a costly one.
Yeah.
However they interpret it, but I was kind of glad to see that he was going to kind of protest it, right?
Yeah. Hey, I'm most excited because he has to protest it by Friday, and he's on our show on Friday.
Oh, very good.
Like, I'm hoping that we
self-serving. Come on.
You know, I'd love him to be like, hey, I'll tell you what. I will pay this fine if you'll give us that win in that tie instead. You give us a different clock operator next time.
Well, the Cardinals fined their coach for yelling at a guy for fumbling.
I don't think it was for the yell.
What was it? I didn't see it.
If you go back and watch it, yeah, as he's walking off, he kind of slaps his arm, and I think that was the final. That was the one that was over the line. If he did his shoulder pads or something, I think that would have been different. But you can kind of see him like slap his arm as he's walking off. And
so
I think that was it.
Back in the day,
when
Bill Parcells had something happened the week before. And so he basically called out his assistant coaches and said, look, if anybody talks to the officials, I talk to them. I don't want any of you guys yelling at them, right? So the next game, Todd Haley gets into it with one of the officials, and Parcells punched him in the chest to get him away.
Yeah, I remember that
right?
one.
and the funny thing is he tells the story and he says, my daughter called me, and he goes, do we need to go back into impulse therapy? And so everybody laughed, right?
Yep.
They didn't fine him for punching Todd Haley, right?
Right.
So but that's the time we live in right now.
It is different. It is different. I mean, because like there were face masks being pulled. Coaches would grab you by the face mask back in the day. And now,
all the time.
If you complained, people would make fun of you.
Yeah. Actually, last night there was a coach yelling at my kid's middle school game. My wife was like, I would be losing it right now. And I was like, you do not understand this game. Like, you got to. And I was like, all right, it's going to be okay. So.
Well, I mean, you know, I grew up, you know, in the newspaper business. The newsroom was wild, right?
Yes.
People yelled and screamed and cussed and Then I found out that in the workplace, you're not supposed to do that.
Yeah, the newsroom does not really abide by
it had to change.
Those rules particularly. Yeah. Now, we always like to direct people to some of the stuff on DallasCowboys.com. And y'all, you were one of the people that answered this question. And I was hoping you could go back through it for people who haven't read it just yet, because we've had this conversation the last couple of days. Why do you think some people discredit wins? And my biggest issue with this has been the Cowboys were 1-2-1 going into this game. It's not like they were 4-0-1 or 5-0 and they should have steamrolled the Jets.
Right. And they basically did, except for the last two possessions.
Yeah, agreed.
Right?
Agreed.
So here's my deal. You can only beat who they tell you to play. And in my books, a win is a win is a win. And you don't diminish it in the National Football League. Go ask, the Eagles. You know,
right?
Would they have rather beat Denver? Well, yeah, of course, right?
The Ravens.
So yeah, and so no, and I think what happens sometime is people's reaction serves their opinion. Like
that's
they don't think
fair.
The Cowboys very yeah. good. And so if they do something good, it's like, well, that doesn't serve what they thought.
Right.
So it's like, well, they only beat, you know, who the Jets, and they haven't won a game. Well, they came close to winning three games. So, again, I don't discredit any win in this league and say, oh, well, yeah, that's what you were supposed to do. When they were 1.5-point favorites to win against a team that hadn't won a game.
Yeah.
So that kind of tells you what people thought of the Cowboys
Agreed.
Going into the game.
Agreed.
So, you know, I think that, you know, a lot of times negativity reigns.
Did you happen to, when you looked at the way the running game that the Jets had that was successful, when you looked at how that they got their success, was it because your interior defensive linemen weren't as good as they have been, or was there something else that you've seen?
I mean, there was gaping holes.
Okay.
You know, you would like to say, well, the linebackers need to clean that up. Well, not when you got a 320-pound guy on you because no one's holding down the line of scrimmage, right?
Exactly.
So I thought, yeah, that whatever scheme or whatever they were using up front, they were picking on them and found some gaping holes. You know, you'd like to say, well, the defensive ends got a little too carried away rushing the quarterback. Yeah, but some of that was in between the tackles. So that's got to be better. Again, using your eyes and looking for the football. It's amazing, right? You spring a leak like that.
Yeah.
Take care of.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
yeah.
You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The passing part of it within reason, because I think they only had two completions for 20 and 25 yards, something like that. And then you spring a leak, stopping the run. So, they're a long way from being established. But I just thought holding them to 22 points was a step in the right direction, because the key to defense is making plays, and they did make some plays.
And I think that's the thing I'm kind of turning my attention to now is, did the Panthers do similar things this past week that the Jets did, and is that going to be a recipe for success, how that comes along? Because Dowdle had a great game.
Right.
And I haven't really watched Panthers tape yet. So.
Well, and I just read where that was his 234 total yards was the third most in franchise history in a single game.
Wow.
And, you know, they've been around for right at 30 years, right?
Yeah.
That kind of gives you an idea of what he was able to accomplish. But again, now their question is, well, what do we do when Chuba Hubbard's healthy and can play again?
Yeah.
Right. Are we splitting carries? Do we have a two-man deal? Or, you know, is Rico better than they thought? So, I mean, that was his first start, and he goes 23 for 206 in a touchdown, running the football. Pretty impressive. But again, you know, he played well here when they gave him a chance.
I agree with that.
The difference is Carolina paid him some money that the Cowboys didn't want to do that at the running back position. And, you know, so Javonte Williams probably making half of what Rico's making against the cap, because he's at $3 million, $2 million guaranteed. And I believe they gave Rico a pretty sizable signing bonus, by the way.
Now, we've talked a lot about how well Dak has done this year, but I was looking at some of the numbers about how just well isn't even a fair descriptor, how good he's done on the play action. And you saw it again against the Jets for the year. He's completing 87% of his passes on play action with 5 touchdowns and no interceptions. I don't actually know if I have a question. I just needed to make sure that you knew that information.
Well, good. I'm going to write it down because I need some notes for today. So I like that one.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Depending where it came from.
It came from a reputable source. Okay. I promise you that. But yeah.
Kevin's brain.
No, not from my brain. 87, although hopefully that is a reputable source. 87% of his completion, of his passes on play action have been completed. 5 touchdowns, no interceptions. Have you seen a particular difference there, either with the way they have operated on play action or just how efficient they have been? Or does this just kind of fall into the category of, man, Dak's been really good this year?
Well, I don't mean to answer with a question, but what makes play action work?
If you believe in the running game.
Right.
Yeah.
And Javonte Williams has 447 yards rushing and 5 rushing touchdowns. And he is on pace for a 1,500-yard season with 17 rushing touchdowns.
And his career high is 5.
Right. And he's already, well, that was Cowboys' season high last year as a team was 6.
Your face.
It's, so, I support that.
You know, if you're running the football, play action works. If no one respects your run, they're just go, well, we're not falling for that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You're going to throw the ball and we'll worry about the run next. So I think that has a lot to do with play action working, is that you've got a running back averaging 5.7 yards a run, and the backup who didn't play, Miles Sanders, was averaging 5.9 yards
right,
a run.
Right.
And when you hit runs for 66 and 49 yards, yeah, now somebody's got to respect the run, which makes the play action more dangerous for defenses.
I do love the physicality that Williams is running with.
Oh, yeah.
But the balance that he has, I think, is the thing that stands out the most. It's just like the ability to stay up and stay balanced whenever his shoulders are always square. I'm really, really liking watching him run.
Yeah, no. You know, and that's, yeah, that's a lot of what he did his rookie year before his tore his ACL, you know, and a lot of what he was doing in practices before the season ever began. And as I've said before, problem is no one got to see him in a preseason game.
Right.
And so now this is like shocking the world what he's doing. But, you know,
I am part of that group.
Yeah. Give the pro scouting department some credit that,
agreed,
you know, they saw something in what this guy could do. And they took a limited chance on him getting back to that level. By, you know, I think it was $2 million guaranteed and a little bit of a signing bonus and only $3 million against the cap. And they said, okay, well, you know, the financial risk is low, but, you know, what the production could be high if we hit. And so at this point, at least, they're winning the gamble.
What do you know or what do you remember about Julius Wood? He just got brought back onto the practice squad. I know that's somebody that they had picked up as an undrafted free agent, I believe, last year.
Well, I'm going to out myself. I don't remember.
Oh.
Wow.
He was a practice squad guy, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, he was.
He covers the team, Kevin.
Wow.
It's kind of a sad theory that when you make the 53, then I'll know who you are.
Well, you know what? One Mike Bassick also very much carried that theory, and he goes, play well enough for me to remember what your name is.
I was like, you know, I'll try to remember numbers and names, but I'm not going to go overboard until, you know, you're on, you know, and then when they're on the practice squad, you kind of have an idea who they are.
Well, he might be best known for eventually catching on with the Titans and then getting suspended for the performance enhancing policy.
That goes around, doesn't it?
It really
You know what?
Does.
I had an interesting thing I wanted to point out to you guys. You were talking about, and I don't know if you brought it up or caller brought it up about the backup guys on the offensive line playing well.
Yeah.
And, you know, what do you do going forward? Well, think about this. So for the majority of those guys, you know, short of maybe Bass and
Hoffman.
And Hoffman, I'm sure the Jets didn't know much about those guys playing as a unit, right?
Definitely.
Now there's tape out there.
Yeah,
that's true.
And the Panthers can sit there and go, okay, now what did these guys do well, and where are they kind of susceptible? And so now it's sort of like when a quarterback comes in and it's like lights up, you know, lights up the deal.
Yeah.
And then now we got a time to look at you, or we got a off season to analyze you. And sometimes that second year is not as good. So you got to be careful analyzing off of just one game. Now, Hoffman, I think, and Bass have played well, and they've played a few games. And
They play well beside each other, too.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what? Because they played together in preseason games, maybe, right? That might count for something. Now, not a lot of people knew about Nate Thomas. He didn't play all last year and basically played a handful of snaps the week before. Well, now they've got tape on him, and they'll go to work on, okay, here's where he has problems, and this is where we're going to attack. So now, can you stand up when people know what you can and what you can't do? And that's always, you know, one of the questions that have to be answered once Guyton gets back from his concussion. But you know what? During training camp, there was a little bit of competition going on there. And then when Guyton suffered, I can't remember what it was, injury. Well, Nate Thomas was getting the first team snaps with the offense and looked well.
Yeah.
And they were impressed with him. Now we'll see what happens when they've got some tape on them, how the Panthers might attack them.
Thank you very much, good sir. We will catch up with you again tomorrow.
All right. See you guys.
There you go.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Will Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.